It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And we're back. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence. We were talking a little bit about the Federal Reserve, and I didn't want to leave you on a bad note or doom and gloom because, folks, you know, just like the music intro had said, we're filled with fear. And it's a fear that's unfounded. And yes, there are some bad things that are going to happen. There's no question. Bad things are already happening. I'm not here to say, oh, we're just going to leave you there. No, I'm terribly optimistic about the future because I think what's going to happen is we're going to see a complete meltdown of governmental control over individuals. And they will spontaneously organize themselves, ourselves, into a very positive, productive future. Because once we get to the bottom, when we hit the rock bottom of this depression, and that could be as early as December of this year, the latest I've understood it could be, would be March of next year. But at some point, there is a bottom. And when we get to the bottom, we should be extraordinarily excited because we have the advantage that the Soviet people did not have, and that is an immediate, instantaneous contact and communication across the world. I think that's going to make a lot of the difference. I mean, nobody knows what's going to actually happen. This is one of those Vujia Day moments. You know, we've never been here before, at least by my definition. But the idea is that once we reach bottom, when we finally fessed up and said, look, we got a worthless currency, we've got a worthless government, we've got worthless bodies of laws that so conflict with our constitutional charter that we're just going to cast them all off and start over. And when we do, I believe we are going to see productivity go at a rate we have never seen in human history. We're going to go back to the top. I have every hope and optimism in the American people to finally realize, nah, you can't suck any more blood out of that turnip. And stop asking government to do anything. In fact, tell them you can't do it anymore. But when we get there, oh my gosh, I am so looking forward to the moment that we have reached bottom because we are going to go to the top faster than any nation has ever gone. I'm absolutely confident in that. So don't let me leave you thinking, oh no, all is lost. No, no, there's hope. There's plenty of hope. That's the difference between a libertarian and the Republican Democrat people. You know, we believe in the inherent goodness of people. They believe in the inherent bad evilness of people. See, they believe that if you're not under their control, then you obviously are out of control. It's all about their control. So having said that, let's get on and talk a couple of things. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We've got a great article up on Freedom's Phoenix. It's about Hobson's choice. Now, that's a choice. That's a rock and a hard place. And for those people who don't know what it is. But ultimately, it comes down to they're talking about because government has no money. Now, when they say it has no money, they mean it has no money for special projects. It does have money to fund pensions for the representatives and elected people. It does have money to corrupt the unions with influence. It does have money for everything except what we call the heartstring pullers. And that's what you're going to see them cut first because they're going to make you feel it because you didn't give them enough money. to make all their dreams come true. So what we're seeing now is we're seeing households, they're talking about all of the things that are being cut. Social security, Medicaid, you boil it all down. What it comes down to is very simply, you get to have less money and they get to have more of your productivity. See, that's all money is really, it is a commemoration, a memorialization of time. Ever thought about money like that? Is how much time it took you to earn, ostensibly, if you earn something of value, it's how much time it took you to earn that unit of currency. How long did it take you to earn that dollar? That's the only thing that makes it valuable, is your effort. And why is that valuable? Because there's only one commodity on earth that you don't get any more of. There's only one limited one. Know what that is? Time. Yeah, time's the only thing you can't undo. That's it. Just time. The good Lord gives you only so many minutes to breathe and walk around and carry on here in this life. And every minute that is consumed or wasted is a minute consumed or wasted of a limited commodity. That's what makes it valuable. So understanding that, where are you going to put your minutes? Are you going to put them into, trying to get more dollars when you know inevitably the dollar is going to be worthless and you will have not had that time that it took you to earn those dollars? You wouldn't have had that time for the things that actually matter in life, like your family, like your friends, like your thoughts, like charity. Isn't that interesting? Well, so what we're going to do is take a couple of little glances around. I was kind of amazed when I saw all of the things they're going to cut, those heartstring pullers. Oh, and it's going to start first with they're going to try to pry more money out of you. Of course, they'll have hidden taxes and all kinds of other nonsense. But at the same time, they're going to cut back on education. Of course, that's a heartstring puller because people somehow think government knows how to educate when they have proven every single time all they do is destroy it. For instance, in around 1900, when Alexis de Tocqueville came around to the United States, he was amazed. We had over a 90% literacy rate without government schools. Oh, now think about that. I remember reading one of the things in his writings, where he was talking about the 14-year-old boy with a plow in one hand, imagine with a horse in front of it, by the way, or a mule, whatever, a plow in one hand, and he said James Fenimore Cooper in the other. Now, James Fenimore Cooper was an author, if you don't know, but it's like American Shakespeare. This is not See Jane Run kind of stuff. This is some pretty heady stuff. But people prided themselves on their education, on their ability to think and rationalize and to see through the BS. That's what they did. You couldn't get over on them. I mean, they weren't impressed by the bling back in those days because you might only have one change of clothes because you're going to look pretty shabby after some period of time. It wasn't going to be what you carry because all you can carry is on your horse. So it wasn't going to be what you had dripping and dangling from you that made you important. It was going to be what came out of your mouth and what actions you took. Were you a good person? Were you a bad person? Did you help someone? Did you not? Did you withhold? Did you hurt someone? Those are going to be the kinds of things that really become important. So that what we're going to do is take a look, and I'm so heartened to see this libertarian movement. And when I say libertarian, I'm not talking the political party. I'm talking the philosophy. The philosophy is absolutely gaining around the world. And why? Because it goes back to a simple premise. The simple premise is that each and every individual born, everyone, regardless of color, regardless of sex, regardless of sexual proclivities or bloodlines or ancestry or anything else, you possess an absolute right to be left alone by everyone else. An absolute right to be left absolutely alone if you so choose. That's freedom. Isn't that interesting? See, a lot of people don't think of it that way. But you really should protect your right to privacy. Don't give people information that can come back to haunt you. Don't let them get the best of you. Because you will win, I promise. You will win. You stick to the good fight. Ultimately, as Ernie says, freedom always wins. happen. It's going to happen. Going to be exciting. Be part of it. Don't be a watcher, be a doer. We'll be back after the break.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're defying the laws of gravity, at least economically. But folks, there are some solutions. And let's talk about this because there's a big consternation. I have been involved in the political aspects, hoping to bring some change or some sort of sense to a senseless process. Others have no hope for the political process. And here's why. Because there are solutions virtually to every one of the problems we face that have gone on and on and on. For instance, we had this SB 1070, and I had the great honor of being able to speak the truth and say, look, it's junk legislation. The wording is horrible. It doesn't accomplish anything other than establish a national ID on everyone. It has no provisions for border security. And I told him it's going to be found unconstitutional. Well, isn't that funny? Because what happened, actually, you just saw one of the biggest ploys. It's hysterical. Because here was a governor. She was sitting here on a test run for 21 months and had already proven that she just wants to raise taxes and grow government. She was as liberal as her predecessor, Miss Napolitano. And yet the Republicans are so short-sighted. They went and voted for her because of her registration. As if some socialist couldn't come sign up as a Republican. You see what I mean? Oh boy, I tell you what, we've grown fat, lazy, and stupid because we allowed that. We didn't look at the people. We looked at the party. Well, I say we. No, I didn't. They did. But in any event, so we ended up with a governor who was totally liberal. And it was all about stirring up consternation between groups of blaming our little brown brothers from south of the border for all the evils and woes and the costs and why if they weren't imposing on our entitlement programs, blah, blah, blah. And there's some truth to that. There is some cost. So why didn't they make it a membership only thing? You don't have the card, you don't get in. How about that? Would have solved the problem, wouldn't have imposed on the rest of us, wouldn't have given the police department or any other dog catcher or government official the ability to tell you you have to produce ID, and if they don't like it or they say they don't like it, you can be held indefinitely. Ooh, welcome to America. America, amen, used to be free, used to be brave. Now it's a bunch of idiots who are under control by people who are bigger idiots than us. So what solutions? All right, I'm criticizing. Of course I am. But people say, well, what are your solutions? Well, let me give you one. How about that border thing? Yeah, we all agree that we don't live in a libertarian world and there are bad people coming across illegally in the border. But from the libertarian perspective, we have people who are dying in our desert trying to get to this place they called America. Back in the day, they called it. They wanted to get here to make a better life for their family, whatever means they chose. That's a concern. These conservative Democrats, they don't know. They don't care. They just want to squash the bugs, as it were. They want to keep the regular Americans. They want to keep them in consternation against the Mexican people. Or South American people, actually, a lot of them coming up. But I had the only plan that would absolutely shut down the border to all illegal traffic, forcing all crossings to the designated points of entry, which is the way it should be. I believe that. But at the same time, you have all the hippie liberal environmentalist groups saying you can't build a wall, blah, 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 blah. You can't because it'll interrupt the migration of the wolves and the snakes and the armadillos and whatever. And so they get into that. And there is something to be said about the environmental impact of building a wall. But then again, we go back to what Janet Napolitano had said, one of the very truthful things that she had said. There were only a couple, so they're easy to remember. But she said, I remember she said, you show me a 30-foot wall and I'll show you a 31-foot fence or a 31-foot ladder. Isn't that interesting? Because that is the way it is. Now, what if we were to take a security measure that wouldn't have a big wall up on the, you know, in the middle of the desert running for 1,000 miles or 1,200, whatever. What if we didn't have a wall, but we could stop people from coming across? What about it? Can we? Oh, yeah, I know. They said my plan was very space age, but it's the only one that got it done. And I know that because for 20 years, my plan has already been in operation around a place called Groom Lake, Nevada. I know it's also known as Area 51, but it ultimately is where the government keeps its secrets from you. Yeah, that's right, from you. And they have done a darn good job since the 1940s of making sure not one person has crossed the border, which incidentally, if you were to stretch it out now, it comes very close to rivaling the length of the border on our southern border. So that it is there, it is feasible, it is cheap, it is innocuous, you don't even see it. But ultimately, it was the technical ability to stop people through sensors, through passive denial systems, so they just don't come any farther. You don't hurt them, they just can't come any further. Their automobiles can't come any further, their motorized this and that can't come any further. It shut it down. So why didn't anybody want to take me up on it? Because it would have fixed the problem. Boom. And that would give them nothing to do. Then they got to go, look for another monster to chase down and try to kill. And that's how government is. They've got to make you perceive that you need them, like that scene from The Matrix, from Vendetta. V is for Vendetta. Great, great show if you know what it's saying. And it's really funny because they say, "Let make them know they need us." Well, no, we don't. Truth is, we do not need any government at all. It's supposed to be a convenience for us to do those things that we couldn't do individually. And incidentally, our government has taken on its own head, although we can never find its mouth. Government says a lot. It says we want to go over and bomb people for no reason. They didn't hurt us, didn't attack us. And yet we are meddling all over the world. We have had almost an incessant incursion of our military since 1812. Our military has been deployed all over the world. Why is that? A peaceful nation. Wouldn't it be great? Now imagine the impact it would have on the world if we had this guy who's sitting in the White House who knows his legacy is all over. In fact, I'm writing a short story about this happening. Goes to the UN and says, we're withdrawing. No more funds. No more participation. We are going to withdraw all of our military forces from all foreign land totally. Completely, we're coming home. And incidentally, on our foreign trade, here's how it's going to work. We're going to let the other nation write it up. Couple of conditions. All we've got is a couple of conditions that are going to demand that what is imposed upon us as a trading partner is equally imposed upon them. That's pretty fair, right? Yeah, you go write it up. Whatever applies to us replies to you. Except that we would have, on whatever those tariffs came out to be, that we would have to offset them to the amount that they were subsidized by any governmental agency, which means if you had a product that was subsidized 50%, it would be taxed twice, double, so that the American people can compete without, like the Japanese, when they dump the steel here in America. And we've had several examples of dumping here in America where they're just stealing your money. That's all. They're subsidized by governments. And then we could go home. No long drawn out negotiations. That's it. You know how many problems we would solve in the world by simply being clear, being honest? And when we say they want to kill us for our freedom, we know that's not true. They want to kill us because we're bombing them. We've killed half their friends and relatives, for crying out loud. Of course they're mad. Let's make them not mad anymore. We'll be back after the break. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, what the hell are we fighting for? Is there really something to fight for? Is there a possibility that we, as a people, and I'm talking worldwide, if we just couldn't put our heads together, or we don't have to do it in concert, just leave other people alone as they try to make life better for the people here on Earth? Wouldn't that be great? If we could just stop the wars, because really and truly, let's think about this, folks. Never in the course of history has one nation ever gone to war with another nation. Never. Well, that's pretty absurd to say that, isn't it? Of course I have. You can give me a million different examples. No, no, no. It's always been politicians going to war with other politicians. See, the people of the nation are the fodder for the cannons and nothing else. They don't get a say in how things come out. They don't get a say in what solutions are come of whatever violent situation. Isn't that incredible? If George Bush wanted to beat up Saddam Hussein, he should have got his running shoes on and gone over and found him and decked him. That would have been a far more honorable thing. But now they want to use wars and planes because of this industrial military complex that Eisenhower warned us about. See, there's no way to scale down a war machine. And these guys, we're talking major contracts with heartstring puller, emotional attachment. Oh, we got to be safe. We got to have the biggest, bestest. We got to be able to blow the other half of the earth up before we'll feel safe. Isn't that ridiculous? And then we got into MAD, that mutually assured destruction. At least that kept everybody at bay. But no, what it really did was allow for the inventory of all these incredible, incredible devices of destruction, the bombs and all the munitions and all the surveillance and everything else that goes on. See, that's a big business. A big, huge business. And what the interest of the manufacturers are, the people who make the munitions and the bombs and the missiles, they want to clear off the shelves. What we have in inventory, they want to use them up. That's old. That's stale. We want to get some new ones. And, of course, that means more bloated, nonsensical contracts paying outrageous amounts for things that don't cost that much. And just look at the space program. You can see that when private enterprise can get there for $20 million and it costs $2.5 billion for the government to get there, you got to say, hey, now. Now, you might be spending a little liberally there, but that is what happens, is that government perverts every single thing it touches by necessity. See, you can't scale back a war machine. How do you tell them, make a few less bombs, make a few, let some people go, make a few less, let people, and scale it back? No, you can't. See, a military operation, when it's grown to this size, you literally have to cut it in half, cut it off at the knees right now. Our own military is the greatest threat to our safety right now than any other national entity. Isn't that amazing? Our own military is stirring up hornet's nests that put us all at risk. And for all those Bush believers out there who think there's a terrorizer behind every Bush waiting to get us, little pun there, I beg you to take another look. Don't be so afraid. I mean, I see full-grown men seemingly of normal intellect and sensibilities, and they are literally afraid that behind every bush, there's going to somebody come out and get them. Going to come get them. And it's crazy because they could not tell you why. They couldn't tell you how they think the bad guys are going to come get them. All they do is live in the shadow of fear. And I'm saying, come out into the light, declare your independence and say, come on, I ain't choosing my battles no more. I'm going to fight whatever enemy comes against me, whenever, wherever, and however. That's the only normal way to act. You keep putting it off and say, well, a little more tax, a little more theft from my labor that has taken away from me feeding my family or paying the light bill, a little more tax. That's okay. You let them slide, but you cannot. And I know that's why libertarians are criticized, is because we do not back up on principle. You cannot find an example where we back up. And I mean, for instance, on the idea of an income tax. Remember that memorialization of your time that you have, your few minutes the good Lord gives you. That's what your money is. And they come take it. And they take it because a bunch of them got together and voted and said, we're going to come take so much of a percentage and we got guns and there you go. It's theft. There's no way around it. It is absolutely an anathema to all of the ideals that founded America. So why do we have politicians who actually think that a little less theft is better than what we have now? No. A libertarian is going to say, stop the theft. Stop it. You walk into a violent situation. You don't tell the criminal, when you're done there, I'm going to stop you. Because that's what they're taking from the political route. Folks, we need solutions. And they can come from you and I. And there's a real simple way to do it. You don't have to go up and get on some government list. I hope I'm on all of them. I'd be ashamed if I wasn't. You know how you can do it? Yeah, I'll tell you how you can do it. Be a good person. And when it comes to government, when they impose upon you and say, we want this information from you, be it a census or credit card information, when they say that, you just say politely, no, thank you. There you go. Greatest weapon you have. Gandhi had it. Martin Luther King had it. Rosa Parks had it. Some of the great people of character who are remembered in history had it. And all they did was sit down. All they did was say, no. No. See, it's kind of funny because we all, you know, naturally when we say, just say no, we think of Nancy Reagan, former first lady. She was brilliant, brilliant, had the best plan to stop kids or to encourage kids to not involve themselves into reckless drug use. And it was simple. Only problem was, and it was the most effective, by the way, it was the just say no campaign. I think there was only $3 or $8 million spent on the entire program. It was the most effective in terms of deterring kids. It was a very good thing. The only problem was it didn't cost enough money. That was why. No, so now we got to incarcerate. We got to go get them. Hey, you got something in your bloodstream. You got to go to jail. Because ultimately somebody is employed who is keeping you in jail or from the judge's bench putting you in jail. And all the extraneous staff that they have. See, government, they don't care if they're building a border fence or tearing a border fence down. They don't care. All they care about is being in charge of the budget. That's where the power is. It's the budget. That's what they want. They don't care about solving any darn problems. They stir them up. I mean, think about this. Think about the whole marriage thing. Boy, that's one that just burned my butt from people being so stupid. I'll tell you a real quick story. I went to it was one of those functions with gay, lesbians, bi, tri, multi, many, we called it sexual people. And it was a fancy thing over at the Biltmore, and the head honcho guy comes up and says, you're a libertarian, you believe in individual rights above all things. And I said, above all things. And he said, you're going to get our support. I said, thank you very much. He walked away. About 20 minutes later, it comes sashaying back up with a couple of his buddies on his arm. And it was very comical. It looked like the Yellow Brick Road scene from The Wizard of Oz. So I'm sure I was smiling and I knew what he was going to do. He thought he was going to play a game with me. He came up, got in my face, said, hey, I know you are going to support gay marriage, aren't you? I said, absolutely not. I don't want government involved in anybody's marriage because the danger is when government sees you and I as anything other than an individual, regardless of our interpersonal relationships, we have lost our freedom. Now they're discriminating against groups or segments, special groups, married people in the population. Government doesn't have that luxury. We've got to take that away from them completely. And besides, the whole idea of licensing marriage started in 1903 in Tennessee, one specific purpose. Stop black people from marrying white people. That's what it was about. Do you really want something to do with that? Well, he huffed and he puffed and he walked away. In about 20 minutes, he told me they were going to go with the Democrat. As if there's going to be any question in my mind. But I'll tell you what happened about an hour later across the street from that event. Maybe it'll bring it all into perspective. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
All want to change the world. Of course we want a revolution. We need a revolution. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock, who's off to Fedstock down in Pennsylvania on Declare Your Independence. Wanted to come back and just finish up a little bit of a story. I was telling you, trying to illustrate a point on the whole gay marriage thing. Well, I told the guy, obviously, I was not going to support gay marriage. I didn't want government involved in anybody's marriage. It had no provision for being there at all. Your common sense must determine it. Well, he got a little miffy with me and told me I needed sensitivity training and all kinds of different special programs for gay people to make sure they're accepted in society. I said, no, don't ask me to condone or agree or advocate for whatever your personal picadillos are. All I can see is equal, period. I don't care. None of my business. You can say you're gay. I don't care. I have no way of knowing. I don't care. It's none of my business, and you can't make it. So, well, the guy was not happy with me. I walked off, said we're going with the Democrat. Well, about an hour later, I was across the street in a religious program with a minister. And I was being set up, I could tell, because the lines were all lit up when I walked into the studio for my interview, and they were going to make sport of this libertarian, of course. First question, you will support the Protect Marriage Amendment, won't you? The DOMA thing? And I said, absolutely not. And I went through my spiel as to why. I don't want government involved in anybody's marriage. It has nothing to do with our interrelationships, our interpersonal relationships at all. And then I got to end up, and I gave my little spiel, and I know that you can't please anybody because I didn't support either side, and I couldn't. But it was funny because I got to add that as a confessed Christian myself, I am incensed, angered, and disappointed by any pastor, priest, or minister who so led their congregations astray as to think that somehow, some way, God's holy, pure law could be legitimized by man's smarmy political law. You know, a lot of people thought about that. Every caller was peaches and cream and said, I never thought about it that way. Well, maybe you should. And that's really what it comes down to. If people would think for themselves, don't fall in with a group advocates something because you may not like all the extraneous issues. Just be true to yourself and demand that everybody be treated equally. Be willing to not have a say in what your neighbor's business is. Can you do that? Because that's a revolution. You stop poking your nose in other people's business and they'll stop poking it in yours. What a nice trade-off. Isn't that neat? That's why gossip, I mean, I don't know any of you who have read the scriptures, they talk about gossip in the most horrible of terms, but that's what we've got these days. We got gossip everywhere. Distraction, distraction, distraction. You know, what's Britney Spears doing today? Or what Charlie Sheen or any of this nonsense? That's to distract you. And you've got to know that. It's of no value to you whatsoever what these people do with their lives. It really isn't. Entertaining. Okay. Entertaining. Fun. But it's of no value to you, and that's why it's put on the front pages, even as they go into these quantitative easings, quietly printing money. They want to push that off the page, or as they say in the industry, change the lead story, change the lead, change the lead, change the lead. That's what they're doing, is trying to keep people. I mean, you go up to Drudge Report or one of those, and you are going to see exactly what I'm talking about. It's just so full of crap. That doesn't mean anything. And then hidden somewhere in there, you'll see a couple of stories that will have the most profound effect on your life imaginable. I mean, but yet people gloss over them in favor of the salacious. I mean, it's really, really a sad state of affairs when we are told what is important. No, I want you to decide what's important. Does it really matter? Whatever they're talking about, they've got all kinds of good stuff. But you see gold going up quietly. You don't see that on the news. You don't see things like Ron Paul winning all of these straw polls, and virtually every one of them in the Republican Party. Why? You think that's not contrived? I mean, for crying out loud, I saw in the Drudge Report a thing saying that Donald Trump, another clown distraction, Donald, and I like Donald, but he's not a politician. In any event, they said Donald Trump comes in second in the straw poll for Republicans. Woohoo! Now, I knew who was going to be first place. There was no question it was going to be the good Dr. Ron Paul from Texas, congressman. Well, I had to be him. He wins them all. And so I didn't even go past the headline at first, and then I went back and clicked on it to see how bad he had beaten everybody else, because he's so far ahead. I know he was like at 33% at CPAC, and Palin was like at 3%, and what's his name, Romney, was 21 or 17%. I mean, it wasn't even close. So I went to see how bad Ron had beaten Donald Trump in this thing. And it said that Mike Huckabee won first place. And I go, oh my God, whoa, the world's just gone squirrely on me. And I scrolled down to see where Ron Paul fit in. And guess where he fit in? Nowhere. He wasn't an option in that race. Isn't that funny? You think that wasn't done on purpose to the man who has already raised more money than any of the other potential candidates for the Republican nomination for president? Do you really think it was something that was not completely contrived? They didn't want you to know, because my God, you get a guy like Ron Paul in there being heard by everybody, and they're going to follow this man who follows the national charter and those ideals enumerated in our Declaration of Independence that made us so unique as a nation, as America. America. There's no United States. There used to be this mythical, almost mythical place called America. Wow. It was a great thing. It was an idea. And an idea meant you could go to this America place, and as long as you didn't hurt another person, their property, or their rights, you can do anything you want. You want to try something new? You want to flower to your greatest potential? You want to invent something? You want to bring something on the market to add some productivity to help your fellow man? America. And you would be rewarded for it. That was what it was. Well, now we've got these politicians who are all trying to look like other countries. But folks, let's understand this. The nation that we are so blessed to be in, this incredibly unique nation, it's a one and only example. A government like ours has not been set up in this world either before or since, because it served the people. And let's understand this, the whole idea of people, you ask them what the revolution was about, and they say, well, it was the splitting off from England. No, that was very little of it. I mean, there were 109 countries in the world. When I was in junior high school, I had to remember all their names and who was in charge and a bunch of other worthless stuff. But now there's over 256 countries in the world. That tells you immediately, splitting off from mother country, no big thing. No, what was so unique was here. The people who had come to settle in this American continent were so arrogant, that in 5,000 years of human history, they thought a new thought. They thought they didn't need no stinking government. They could run their own lives. They could literally be free. That was what America was. It was, the revolution was one of mind and conscience. It wasn't a physical thing. See, it was over before it started, because freedom always wins, and I believe it will again. I'm hopeful that you will join me and make sure that happens. And you can do it. You don't have to pick up a gun. All you have to do is sit on your butt. Just say no. Now, come on, folks. Everybody's got a no in them. Everybody. I mean, enough of this, I'm going along because it's easier. I'm going along because they got bigger guns than me. Stop it. Think of the children. It's the next generation that we have a responsibility to preserve a legacy of freedom like has never been seen in human history. Not before, not since. We're unique. Let's be unique. Let's get rid of these clowns we've got in government now, put some honest people in, and let's change the world by saying, we're not going to hurt you anymore. Welcome all friendly, honest people. Welcome to America. So come back and join the revolution. Ernest Hancock will be doing a live, lengthy interview tomorrow from FedStock with Ernest Hancock. This is Barry Hess sitting in on Declare Your Independence. So get ready, folks. Prepare. And incidentally, tell someone you love them today. Might just change their attitude. Maybe smile at a stranger. Do something nice for the wife. How about that? Have a great day. This is Barry Hess sitting in for Ernest Hancock on Declare Your Independence. Do it today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of freedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readers of freedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured. Tour.